OG Podcast Network presents.
Welcome to Fireside. First off, welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly. Stay tuned, Mindy's got the creepiest news. From books to TV, the movie reviews. Plus the next toy, baby, here we choose. Even the superhero fight club, we usually lose. So pop in those earbuds, turn up those speakers. Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features. And either listen by weekly or you can binge us. We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti, and with me is Elise Maurer.
Beep you.
He wasn't ready for that one. He had to like rush back over to the mic. All right, then we'll try it again. And then there's Maurer.
Beep you.
And Features is not here. Good old late shift. Back at him again. But we do have that little squeal you just heard of a laugh. Mr. Baby Huey, how are you, sir?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Well, it's the Wednesday show.
Totally different than the Saturday show.
Why is that?
Because we talk about news.
The new news.
Wait, I'm going to get nasally here. New news.
Oh, that was...
That was bad.
That was awful. Yeah,
please don't ever do that again.
Yeah, I was trying to be like Features.
I'm so sorry to everybody who heard that.
The new news.
And Tara's probably finally caught up, and now she has to hear this.
Tara, for anybody unaware of what that joke is, one of our firesiders on the Facebook group, go check that out. But let's get into the news, because we got a lot to talk about today. For example, a Game of Thrones star could be our new Batman.
Could be.
We could have the Daredevil release date.
Could be. And Ghost Rider kills the Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's really clickbait.
But true, all the same time.
Let's start there. Let's start with Ghost Rider killing the Guardians again.
And again.
And again.
And again.
And again. So yeah, in the good old Cosmic Ghost Rider book, which is gotta be one of the craziest books.
And the fact that it's good.
It's like, remember when they did Deadpool the Duck and everyone was like, Remember that when they merged Darrow the Duck and Deadpool and whatever? Like, that's not a good idea. And then they were like, let's do, you know, Silver Surfer, Ghost Rider, Punisher. And then it turned out to be amazing.
It took the best parts of all three of them.
Arguably the best part of that Thanos book. I mean, that Thanos run in general was phenomenal, but this arguably is the best one. So for anybody unaware, Cosmic Ghost Rider is...
Arguably? You just say arguably a lot. First and foremost,
you can't really argue this one. Frank Castle, the Punisher, is our new Ghost Rider in this story. So he does get the powers of the Ghost Rider, as well as he gets the powers of the Silver Surfer, right? He gets cosmic awareness, all that jazz.
And still has the mindset of the Punisher.
No, he does not. He went crazy over like a millennia of being by himself. So now he's kind of like Deadpool.
But he still wants to punish things.
Kinda. He waxes and wanes. And he's a weird character. You know, I guess if you're just alone for that long, can't blame him.
Just driving around on Earth going...
As a demon for thousands of years. Anyway, it's a crazy book. Just check it out. But recently they announced that there was a new Guardians team, which included the greatest of all Guardians, Juggernaut.
Nice.
Juggernaut meets Howard the Duck. There was also Miss Marvel was in there.
And then Buffalo Bill Rocket Raccoon.
That was the creepiest.
Wow.
That was the creepiest thing. Yeah, Buffalo Rocket.
I don't like that.
Wore Groot's body and Iron Man.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Yeah, it was real creepy. But anyway, so they introduced this new team, and we're like, we even talked about it on the show. Like, oh, it's cool, Juggernaut. This is going to be awesome. Cable's on the team. And then, like, an issue later, Cable slips into the time stream. Ghost Rider kills them all. Cable comes back with another team. He kills them. And then comes back with another team. And he kills them.
And again.
And so on and so forth.
Again.
So, yeah. Yeah, Juggernaut's gone.
That the power of the Cosmic Ghost Rider, there isn't many people that could stand in front of him and not just instantly die.
Except for Thanos. He's like killed him.
You mean Punisher?
That haven't happened yet. That was a preview. So yeah, there's a Thanos. I'll put that in the comment section so everyone knows what the hell you're talking about there. But we did see an image of Thanos wearing a Punisher t-shirt and with guns. It was
sorry for being late, Dad. That's what he says.
What?
The
I get you, but just out of context. He just looked across the room. Sorry, I'm late, Dad. What the hell? All right. So yeah, it's obviously a jump into the future, because in this book, which we have not mentioned, is that Cosmic Ghost Rider goes back in time to kill baby Thanos, but then realizes using the penance there, I believe, that baby Thanos didn't do anything wrong yet, so he can't punish him, right? So he decides to raise him. And my favorite thing is that baby Thanos like attacks him immediately, like jumps up and tries to, like, baby Thanos is brutal. But yeah, so he kind of adopts him. So Cosmic Ghost Rider, like, riding around with baby Thanos.
The opposite so of baby Hope. Like,
kind of.
Yeah, way different than baby Hope. Baby Hope, for anybody unaware, is what? Messiah Complex, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So that is the first mutant born after House of M, when all the mutants lost their powers. And that's
no
Cable.
More mutants.
Yep. I'm just trying to make sure everybody's on the same page. That was a lot to try and explain real quick.
Let's say something else.
No, let's move on. So baby Huey, speaking of the Guardians and them dying and coming back and dying and coming back.
We're getting another new Guardians team, but in our continuity.
What does that mean?
So the Guardians we were just talking about were a future generation of Guardians. In current time here, we are going to be getting a new Guardians team next year, but we don't know who the team is right now.
Well, what we do know is that in Infinity Wars, which is happening right now, mm-hmm. we have Gamora, spoiler alert, as Requiem, who's the big baddie in that one, who looks awesome.
And who'd she just kill?
Star-Lord.
And?
Well, Thanos, but, I mean, this is not his first rodeo, you know? The man had his heart quite literally ripped out of his chest, reborn in a cocoon, and
true.
All sorts of craziness. So, yeah, Thanos will just pick his head back up. He was outside of existence and then just kind of broke in all new, all different.
That's true. He was, that's where Reed was.
And... he's literally outside of existence and then just kind of found a tear in reality and walked in. So him having losing a head does not mean much to me.
Because comics.
Comics. That's going to be an explanation for a lot of what we talk about today. So yeah, new team, 2019. We're excited to see who they are, but we have no clue.
Yeah, and the spoiler teaser picture they put out, I'm sorry, the teaser picture they put out basically has anyone and everyone that's ever been a Guardian in it.
That's a decent chunk of people.
Yeah, it's like, there's like 50-some
people. Almost like the Avengers.
Yeah.
Everyone's been a Guardian.
At some point.
At some point, yeah.
At some point. So, yeah, that's that. Speaking of pretty bizarre news, since all of our comic news is rather bizarre, we got to just take a second just to appreciate Scott Snyder's Justice League for a moment, because that book...
Pause.
So confused.
Let's give him a round of applause for using the right name.
I forgot to say Zack Snyder.
Because every time you talk about this book, you say Zack Snyder.
I say Zack Snyder all the time, unfortunately. Scott Snyder, the better of the Snyders. No offense, Zack, but...
No, you can be offended.
I appreciate Scott's work more. But the Batman run was somewhat grounded. I mean, for Batman. You know what I mean?
Justice League Light?
No, Dark Knight Metal. We're talking like New 52.
Okay.
We're talking like for as long as Scott Snyder's been
writing
Batman.
Yeah, that was very grounded.
For the most part.
Linear.
It had some, most of his stories do have that kind of linear feel to them, and they can be read in one just giant continuity. Like, you can just read Scott Snyder's work as one continuous story leading mm-hmm. up into Justice League now. But it has, Dark Knight's Metal started going off the rail, and in a great way, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying in a negative way, but man, Justice League. Whew.
Cool. It feels like you've given someone ultimate power and they just realized it.
I'm excited to see where he goes with this, because the way he ties everything back in, because even Dark Knight's Metal, I'm like, where are you going with this, buddy? And then, whoof, when it came around, was incredible. Court of Owls, same way. So in general, Scott Snyder's work tends to be out there, but it all comes together and it coalesces so nicely that it's all right. But trying to keep up with this now, so much is happening.
Yeah, and this new thing from the last book.
So spoiler alert for just this last book. And I don't want to give too much away, but there's one part of it we have to talk about. So as we all know, if you've been reading this book, the source wall is cracked from Dark Knight's Metal. And the source wall is what allows, which is what's outside of our universe, right? But nobody's ever really talked about what's on the other side of it. Well, it's cracked and we've gotten a couple different forces to go with Flash's Speed Force. So we had the Strength Force, the Sage Force, the Still Force. We also had the Ultraviolet Lanterns, the other emotional spectrum coming out of that, the area as well. And the Ultraviolet Lantern Corps is like, how do you explain this? It's like you know how the Black Lantern ring takes over a dead body? Well, this takes over a living person and essentially just turns them crazy. Like, they just experience all horrible things and it drives them insane.
It's bizarro lanterns.
Kinda. In a way, yeah, I get that. They make monsters and stuff out of their constructs.
I mean, John Stewart has the ultraviolet light
But he got, I think he got rid of it.
He did get rid of it. He was going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it took everybody to take him out too.
Yeah.
So anyway, he the whole world, so to speak, like thousands and thousands of thousands. I should say whole world, but thousands of people.
That's become, the whole world.
And maybe it's more than thousands now that I think about it, because they're like circling the planet, so it's probably way more. But anyway, all
we're
these,
bad with numbers here.
Yeah, they're all like 20 ultraviolet lanterns, and Barry Allen decides to use the Still Force to connect them in like a hive mind, since they kind of are due to the ultraviolet core.
Copyright still pending against Fireside for the Slow Force.
Oh, for the Slow. I gotcha. Anyway, since they all have a connected hive mind, they realize they're not alone in their despair and their misery, and that bond kind of connects them. And we have the return of the most powerful of all the lantern cores, but in the most ridiculous way.
Aquamarine lantern.
No.
Although I'd like to see an aquamarine lantern.
That would be kind of cool.
What would they do? I don't want to get into this. It's a rabbit hole. I'm not willing.
If we see aquamarine in next year.
So all of a sudden, the white lanterns make a return. Now, if you're unaware, the white lanterns in Blackest Night was how they were able to win. It's essentially a combination of all the lantern cores merged into one.
Because all light colors equal white.
They are the most powerful. And it really isn't they. Sinestro was the first. Then everybody got a ring for a little bit. And then Kyle Rayner was the only white lantern. And he was...
For a while, yeah.
He is like the Franklin Richards of DC. Like, he is the most powerful character. Like, the White Lantern is who they compare everybody to. It gets to a point where it looks like Dr. Manhattan destroyed the White Lantern ring, right? No. To show how powerful Dr. Manhattan is before Doomsday Clock comes to its finish.
10 years from now.
Yeah, right. But the Earth becomes a White Lantern.
The what?
Let me say this one more time. The Earth, like where we are now, the planet, becomes a white lantern.
So does that mean we're white lanterns?
I don't know. I don't think so. But I mean, does
that's
that
a rip.
Like, did Gaia turn into a white lantern? Like, how does that work? Is the Earth sentient?
Captain Planet.
Like, I know there's a lot of right. There's a lot of hippies out there. There's a lot of enthusiasts who would argue that the planet is a living organism. There's a lot of people who said it wouldn't.
When you step on grass with bare feet,
oh god,
you feel the Earth breathe. I want you to align your chakras with me right now and go through this transcendental meditation.
So it was funny.
Did we change the channel or something?
No, he just he just destroyed that, like the White Lantern ring. Like that joke. That joke had no stood no chance. Anyway.
None.
So yeah, that's it. White Lantern Corps. There's so much happening in this book. I don't want to even talk about it until it's finished. I think we need to do an entire breakdown of the Justice League.
It's either going to have Snyder jump the shark or prove that he's a genius.
But okay. So like, here's a prime example of how crazy this book is. The Joker and Lex Luthor are shrunk down to like the size of a cell and are hiding in Superman and Martian Manhunter. And they have a fight with Batman inside of Martian Manhunter. I'm telling you, this book is crazy.
Our Wonder Woman joke finally could happen.
Oh,
jeez, oh, man. I don't even want to do it. So yeah, all I'm saying is pick up that book if you want to go for a wild ride. Otherwise, wait for that book to come out into the trade so you can understand what the hell is happening.
I've been reading it month to month. I think I'm going to wait for all the issues to come out and do one massive read.
Art's beautiful. It's engaging. It's just so much happening. It's like I don't. This is so weird.
This is the real example of why certain books are trade worthy. Just don't read them when they come out, because you're not going to be fulfilled as you're reading it.
I guess maybe it's like Moon Knight. Remember that the last run of Moon Knight where I gave up? Like, I don't.
You read that whole thing, you're like, it makes so much sense.
I guess, but this is bizarre. It's cool, but it's so out there. Anyway, let's. Big reveal. Spoiler. The Batman Who Laughs is now officially back in canon, so it's not just something from Dark Knight's Metal. For anybody unaware, that is a merger of Batman and the Joker, who's arguably the coolest thing to come out of Batman and Metal.
He's amazing.
With Dark Knight's Metal.
We had seen that right before this run started. They said they were going to bring him back.
And here he is in his glory.
Did they tone him down at all?
We don't know. The final panel showed him. Lex Luthor says, it's because we as villains have become so cookie cutter, and we've become... so easy to guess our next move, things like that. We're so predictable that we need chaos. We need some kind of anarchy to throw everything off.
And that's a little crazy coming from Lex.
And he's talking to Batman Who Laughs.
And remember, Batman Who Laughs is Bruce Wayne.
So all the training, it's like if the Joker was like a highly trained assassin.
True.
You know,
and Batman and Lex Luthor have a fight in somebody. Like, crazy. Book's nuts.
Mara wants to say.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Moving on to Superior Spider-Man.
And there's not a lot to talk about here.
So I'm happy.
I love Superior Spider-Man. I thought that was a fun run. Who wants to give me my Superior Spider-Man breakdown?
So Superior Spider-Man is the mind of Otto Octavius in Peter Parker.
Where he eliminates Peter Parker even from his own brain.
Which is the saddest book. When he erases him from his mind.
Panels were crazy.
They switch bodies like a Freaky Friday kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And
only Otto's dying.
Otto's dying of cancer, and then all of a sudden they switch bodies, so now Peter's in there, and that was still one of the greatest moments in the Spider-Man comic when Otto, as Spider-Man, punches Doc Ock as, you know, Parker, and realizes that Peter is holding back the entire time. One of my favorite panels. But yeah. Peter dies, body at least, mind is still in the, gets erased later. But anyway, he decides he wants to become the best Spider-Man ever because he's better than Peter Parker, and he gets a flood of all of his emotions and memories, so he gets the Superior Spider-Man. If Spider-Man was a villain, was a good guy with the mentality of a villain. So like a prime example, when he takes on Kingpin, you would expect Spider-Man to like sneak through a vent. You know what I mean? Take him out all stealth. He just levels a whole city block with like armored giant spiders. So that's the guy we're talking about here. Well, anyway, he's back. He's got his new ongoing series.
Guess who's back?
He no longer wants to be the Superior Spider-Man. He wants to be Superior Dr. Octopus. He wants to be the Superior Otto Octavius. So he's not trying to one-up Parker. He's his own character. Whether or not that's a hero or a villain, that remains to be seen.
So I'm wondering, this is probably going to come directly out of the new Spider-Geddon.
I'm sure.
Because in one of the issue covers they released, they show Superior Octopus, who he is right now. His costume's all torn to shreds.
It makes sense.
So.
It's probably because they brought Superior Octopus and thought he would be something cool, and he wasn't.
Right, and Superior Octopus is a cloned body of Peter that he modified.
Which, like, when you think of the arch nemesis of characters, then arch nemesi. Anyway, the reverse characters.
Or is nemesis the plural of nemesis?
Reverse Flash, Sinestro, you know what I mean? Like or Vengeance for Ghost Rider.
Blackheart.
What's up?
Nothing.
Well, he's Blackheart. Blackheart's not the reverse.
AKA look at phase one of all the Marvel movies.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Superior Spider-Man could be that for Spider-Man. Because Spider-Man villains, although are iconic, he doesn't really have the reverse.
That is correct.
Venom is the closest, but even that is a stretch. So this would be kind of cool to give him a Reverse Flash-esque character. He's a bad guy. If he's a bad guy, he probably won't be.
No, I think they're going to take him a little more darker path that they've done with Scarlet Spider, with him coming back.
Well, that could be cool. Like, they could have like conflicting ideologies.
Well, that's what they've been doing with Scarlet Spider. You have both Kane Parker and Ben Reilly in the book together. Kane being the more, I'm going to break your bones, and Ben's now trying to be good again.
But Doc Ock, you would never truly say he was more of a Doom type villain. Where he was a villain only because what his thoughts were didn't match with everybody else. He always thought what he was doing was for good.
Sure, but if you take the arch nemesis of Spider-Man, who would it be?
Green Goblin.
Green Goblin.
And then?
Venom.
No, Doc Ock.
Yeah, Doc Ock.
I would put Doc Ock number two, absolutely. And then I'd put Venom just because of popularity. But
Mysterio.
No, he's down the list.
No. The best thing Mysterio ever did was in a Wolverine book. Tell me I'm not right.
Old man Logan.
Shut up.
He's yep.
All right. But anyway, cool, let's get off of comics and let's start, because we still got 12 minutes to go. We got a lot of other news to talk about. So
In TV.
We don't have a lot of TV stuff. So what are we starting here?
Daredevil.
So we might have gotten the release date for Daredevil season 3.
Great. Before 2019.
We got that teaser and it was awesome.
So
it felt very much like Daredevil's back. I'm cool with it.
Yep. So at the end of the Netflix Thailand teaser, there was some words put at the end of it, and it's in Thailandy. I don't know what the language.
Thailandy. Oh my God! I've never done it this way, but we're giving them and a one and a two.
Earth two.
I can't even finish it.
Steve Ballmer will probably make a meme of that one.
Thailandy.
Yep. Thailandy.
My God. All right. So that's it. He's back.
October 19th.
Awesome.
Great.
Maybe. Possibly.
Sure.
We'll see. It was Thailandy, so I'm not sure.
Are we on the Thailandy calendar?
What language is that?
I don't know. This isn't the Thailandy hemisphere. So anyway,
anybody
let's move
have
on.
A Thailandy translator?
Because this news is the most ridiculous of all of the news on the board. Finn Jones is cool with a Heroes for Hire spinoff.
No beeping shit.
No. You got to be kidding me. What else has he got going on?
Listen.
Anything?
Like,
nope.
Hey, would you consider doing another show that you're the star of?
And I'm not too far in Iron Fist season 2. As of right now, I dig it. Season 1 left a lot to be desired, unless you're Maurer. But him in season 2 of Luke Cage was phenomenal. So if you give me that first season, all about it. A whole season of that, I'll take it.
Yeah, so this second season's been good. I'm on episode 9 or 10. So I'm almost done.
This is the first time Maurer's ever beat us.
I'm on episode 7.
It only took Iron Fist. I'm on episode 4.
The shorter season is cooler. It moves. The pacing, I think, is a lot better, having just this kind of compressed storyline. But I can see why people are enjoying this much more. You're getting a darker Iron Fist. You're getting more of that mythology, not him going around saying, I'm the immortal Iron Fist, even though that's still said a lot.
I'm the immortal Iron Fist. I'm the immortal Iron Fist.
The living weapon.
We got it. We got it.
He's more confident this season, or at least in the start of the season.
Oh, I'm enjoying everything.
He's a little overconfident, I would say.
I'm enjoying it. I thought the opening scene was great. The Davos fight scene was great. I mean, and it looks so dopey in the commercials. All the ads for it when he's wearing the stupid Iron Fist mask for the first time. You're like, my God, if this is what it's going to look like, take it off. Get it off there. I like him in the yellow face mask, mm-hmm. like a Mortal Kombat character, like with the hood up. I dig that look. I mean, that could just be Iron Fist right there.
I think. Well, you'll see. I don't want to spoil anything.
Look at you.
Wow.
So sweet. All right, let's move on.
Moving on.
Swamp Thing.
Mother beeping. Yeah.
So Swamp Thing is looks like it's going for a hard R tone. Maurer, who's Swamp Thing?
The living connection to Gaia.
The green
Gaia.
If we're going to be on that. So is Swamp Thing going to be the White
Thing,
Lantern?
Swamp Thing's what? Yes.
Yes.
Thing.
Just because that's awesome.
But basically, Swamp Thing is DC's version of Man-Thing. Did Man-Thing come out first?
Probably.
I don't think so.
Was it Swamp Thing first?
I'm pretty
Man-Thing?
Sure Man-Thing is a response to Swamp Thing. I could be wildly wrong.
Made of moss and plants and can teleport throughout the world by going through the green, which is the Earth. Super cool character. Former scientist that was studying the planet and chemical spill becomes part of the green.
I love when he's in the car with Batman during Dark Knight's Metal. Why do you have a car? Why do you have a body? Touche, Batman. Touche.
But having a rated R, dark, gritty Swamp Thing.
In an actual prosthetic suit. Like, it's not going to be CG. It's a practical suit.
Going to be awesome.
I'm all about it. All right, movies.
And we already know it's not tied to any other thing in the DC universe. It is standalone. They don't want to be tied to anything.
So as far as Iron Fist is concerned, we're going to do a whole show on that later, so we're not jumping too much. But we all pretty much dig it so far.
So Man-Thing came out in 1971.
Uh-huh.
Swamp Thing came out in 1971.
What was the month?
This
could be Bugs Life and Ants here, man.
It is. Swamp Thing was in July, and Man-Thing was May.
Wow.
There's a big battle that goes back and forth between who created what and what was actually first.
Huh.
We could
Man
do a whole
Thing
show.
Was first?
We could do a whole show on how deep that world was.
For anybody unaware, Man-Thing is Marvel's version of Swamp Thing.
No, well, since Man-Thing came first.
Well, in regards to what I'm talking about, yes, that's true.
Man-Thing has the power of when he touches you, fear, any fear in you burns. So it's a pretty cool power.
Yeah, he looks stupid.
Looks like an elephant.
A swampy elephant. That's what he looks like. Anyway, let's get into some movie news. So right off the bat, let's talk about the Black Panther Oscar campaign, which... we all knew it was coming. We all knew that was coming. And now that the Academy has gotten rid of that stupid, we're just going to throw you a bone category, the popular category, which just, come on. That was we're going to give Black Panther this because we didn't want to give him best movie. That's what that was. So now that they got rid of it, it'll be interesting to see what that actually means
for
Black Panther.
Do you honestly think it has a chance at best film?
I think it has a chance of being nominated. But they do is it 10 movies this year? Or not this year, but they've started with 10 movies now?
They can do up to 10.
I think it'll be nominated. It'll get a nomination. It probably won't win, though.
It'll get a nomination. And it'll win a bunch of other awards to make up for the fact that it doesn't. He might get Best Director, maybe.
Yeah, they'll give, like, screenplay, something practical like effects, costume.
Michael B. Jordan might win for supporting.
I like him a lot, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't ever watch the Oscar noms until Oscar season when I find out what they are. You know what I mean? Like, that's what Oscar season is. It's the movies that the Academy thinks are great.
And then you're like,
and a lot of times they're right. Sometimes they're phenomenal. Other times you're like, really?
Do you ever, and this is off topic, but the best supporting actor, that actor always seems to be better than all the best actors. Like, when you watch it, you're like, man, the best supporting actor was amazing. They have this little role and kill it. You always root for those.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be an interesting Oscar season, and it's really weird saying that because the Oscars haven't really been interesting for a while. So I'm excited. Yeah, since Suicide Squad won an Oscar,
Fahey has allocated a significant budget for this promotion,
which means they're going to try and buy it off, which is what most studios do anyway. So, by the way, hope I'm not killing the dream for anybody, but yeah, they're rigged. Hey, you can buy an Oscar. Ooh, all right, now we all know.
Unless you're Leo.
Aww.
Even then, they could have shelled out another million. They really wanted to give it to him, but instead he wanted to eat raw meat. There's a whole lot of movie jokes in there. If you're not movie people, that's the Revenant that I'm referring to, that they just gave it to him because
he hasn't.
They snubbed him so many times. Anyway, let's get into movies. So let's talk about Kit Harington. Anybody know who Kit Harington is?
No freaking clue.
Jon Snow.
You know nothing, Jon Snow. Jon really Snow don't. Is from Game of Thrones, which is awesome. It's coming back.
So which guy is he?
He's the main guy.
He's one of the ones that hasn't died yet.
He's like what the show is about. So yeah, he's a huge deal.
Oh wait, he did die. Sorry.
He did die. Spoiler alert. He did die. Came back. Cause comics. Anyway. Yeah, because death means nothing anywhere anymore.
No.
So he might be Batman.
Does he look like a Batman?
I've never seen him with his haircut, so I don't know. But
his hair's like this.
I don't think he would make a good ears. Batman, but we'll see. Maybe Batman Year One, like let him grow into being Batman.
Okay,
I could kind of see that.
If they are going to go for a younger, more inexperienced Batman, then maybe.
But I can't even hear his voice coming out of that cape and cowl. Like I don't know.
Remember Christian Bale's voice, even just normal talking when you first heard him with his accent, nobody thought
true.
So
well, his lisp, it bothers me as really? Much as I like that movie. It's what I do that finds me.
Yes.
I can't. It's, it hits you sometimes and I'm like, all right, you look great. So anyway, he could be cool. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Give him a shot. Thrones, yeah, why not? Yeah. Game of Thrones is phenomenal. You shut your mouth. Let's talk about some Shazam news.
Shazam.
Whoa. Look at those sound effects.
We have a high budget here.
Yeah, we're really ramping up the budget to get that soundboard in here. Here we go. Laser sounds. Pew, pew.
Gunshots.
Pop.
Flash running.
The sound of Baby Huey thinking.
Thailandese.
So, Mallory, what's going on with Shazam's costume?
So, the director of Shazam... responded to some comments about recent pictures of the costume that some eagle-eyed viewers saw that looked completely different than what we got in the first images and the trailer. And it turns out they're right. It is completely different. So he, to paraphrase, he basically said making suits is hard. And right before they went to film and, you know, go through with the movie, he decided to change the fabric on the suit. Jeez. Well, they didn't get to test it, so it, particularly in bright light, doesn't look like the way he wanted it. And he was like, we'll just fix it in post, which I hate how that's now the thing for these superhero costumes. But they didn't want to change the original trailer too far off from those original images that came because they didn't want to confuse people. But now he's saying the new images are getting close. The suit's not near completion. The big thing he wanted to say was the lightning bolt on the chest is not just going to be a glowy light. They're not going to go too crazy with it, but it's not just going to look like a tap light that's on the guy's chest.
That's good.
I liked his costume. It was very accurate to me. Mm-hmm. I know for non-comic fans, it's a little much at first. You're like, with the white cape? I don't know about this. But for anybody who's a longtime comic fan or especially Shazam fan, That was, it was like a dream come true seeing that costume.
The new images are nice. It's a little smoother, a little bit deeper red. And then if they just tweak the lightning bolt in the chest, it's going to be a beautiful costume.
And then throw some lightning on them. You know, mm-hmm. A little bit of post effects. But let's talk about our last bit of news, which is we got our first official look for Captain Marvel, Brie Larson's Captain Marvel, in Entertainment Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it was pretty cool. We got a lot of great new photos. And in the interview, though, is where I really want to focus. Because, I mean, obviously she's going to play a big role in Avengers 4 after her movie. And they say her movie's going to take place in space.
What color is the costume?
It's the traditional colors. It's the ones you'd expect. It's gold, red, and blue. We still do have the teal, blue, the tree warrior costume, but that's Marvel's costume, which makes sense. I mean, look, all of it makes sense when you think about it. If you're a Captain Marvel fan, like Marvel fan, the Kree warrior came to Earth as the extended powers because
Jude Law's
character, right? Yeah,
which they haven't officially said it in the Entertainment Weekly.
What, that Jude Law's Marvel?
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably trying to hide it.
Of course, they're.
We all know. Stop it.
You're not hiding anything.
No. Well, anyway, he accidentally gives, I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it in the movie, but she gets hit. They get hit with like a cosmic something. Anyway, some rays hit Captain Marvel and she's in front of him. Carol Danvers is in front of him and his power is kind of like imprint on her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know how they're going to do it in the movie, but they say most of it's going to take place in space. And then another big piece is that, and this is the one that I want to harp on, is that she's so powerful she can move planets, according to Brie Larson. Okay.
It's tongue in cheek.
Oh, I hope.
It has to be.
I hope. Because look, she's powerful. Don't get me wrong. Captain Marvel is extremely powerful, but moving planets?
Yay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Bauer sounds real excited for this.
This is great.
Okay. Cool.
No, what's cool about this? Nothing.
So there's that lackluster end from Mr. Mauer there.
Anyway, we've got one more piece of news.
On that note, you can find the show Welcome to Fireside. Oh, no.
We've got one more piece of news up there.
What?
Which will lead into your Saturday show.
I was just going to talk about that on the Saturday show. So the Saturday show, if you're wondering why we didn't talk about Spider-Man,
is because
we're going to do it on a Saturday.
Because this is all these two have done since it's come out. That's and played this video.
Spider-Man? That is not true. I've mostly been working and sleeping. I only have to play it for like a couple hours.
I have weekends off. Spider-Man. Spider-Man is the only reason I'm not done Iron Fist.
Yeah, it's true. I would say the same thing. I was going to try and binge all of Iron Fist in a day, and then I turn on Spider-Man. Nope, that was that.
Because out of all of us, I'm usually the one done first with these Netflix shows.
Cool. Baby Huey wins. Somebody give him a sticker.
Baby Huey has no life on Friday nights, so he watches Netflix.
A couple, on that note, Minty, do the thing.
You did that to yourself, man. I have no sympathy.
Still a couple. I finish a Saturday morning. Yeah.
Somebody find this man a date.
Please.
So yeah, tune in on Saturday if you've been playing the game. Definitely check it out. Also, it is Wednesday, meaning Friday is Keystone Comic Con. I don't know if everybody's aware, but that is a big deal for us in Philly. If you are in the Philadelphia tri-state area and you are making it a trek out to this event, come find us.
We are going to have a DJ. We're going to have
a DJ
cosplayers, Veronica cosplayers. Ray. On Saturday and Sunday with her Luigi costume and her Lady Deadpool and also her Lady Sith costume. So she's going to have a photo ops with Ray Park that she's going to. So she's dressing up in her Sith gear. And then we've got Fireside's own Deadpool going to be with us Friday, Saturday,
and
Sunday.
This guy's amazing.
The best Deadpool ever.
I love it. The chimichanga lines and stuff. Oh, maybe we can get that started again.
So Jason Lowndes will be with us all weekend. We're stoked to have him there. The rest of the Fireside family could not be there. This is the first time we've ever done Keystone. It's the first time Keystone.
Yeah, this is
first time Keystone's done Keystone.
Keystone, this is new for them.
So we're looking forward to it.
You're missing.
What are we missing?
The Corpse Crew.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys.
Oh, what are you?
Buzz, he's sorry. Ken, he's sorry.
So we will
Blair,
have.
He's sorry.
Blair, too. I'm sorry. So the Blairs will be there. Ken and Buzz will be there. They're going to be doing sketches. We've got our limited edition turtle print again this year.
Yeah, we got our new one. I'm going to say who it is. Yeah, you can find it at the con.
Phenomenal look.
But we know we have Raffy. We have Mikey. And then we got our new one and then one left.
So
I want to say who the new one is, though. But you got a 50-50 chance of getting it right.
So yeah, come stop by, see us. If you have any music requests,
it's booth 1205. But again, the reason I haven't promoted this at all is that we always move. So right now, 1205.
Now,
for now,
the floor looks good. Have you guys looked at the map? There's a wrestling ring. There's all kinds of stuff going on. This con, for a first year, is pulling together pretty nicely.
I'm excited. I'm real excited. So again, that's this weekend. Come see us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But on that note, I'm going to do that thing.
Do that thing.
You can find the show Welcome to Fireside everywhere online or any social media at Welcome to Fireside. If you enjoy our show, please a comment, a like, share, rating. All of that jazz goes a long way. I'm sure you all have content creator friends out there who say this to you all the time, and it is true. Goes a long way. So we truly appreciate it. To our Firesiders in the Firesiders group on Facebook, you guys are awesome. We appreciate all the dialogue and interacting with anybody. Come find us there if you actually want to talk and hang out, because that's where we are. And definitely check out Toying Around Live, which has been great. Toying Around Live with Baby Huey and with Maurer has been awesome on our Facebook page. More to come with that. Also, Mosh Co. Collectibles will be at Keystone with us as well.
Yes, he will.
So
he's our DJ.
There's a little peek behind the curtain. All right. Well, once again, I'm Menti.
I'm Baby Huey.
And I'm Mr. Maurer. Don't forget to check us out on the OG Podcast Network. That's OGPodcast.com.
You've got the network. OG Podcast. You need to put the network in OGPodcastNetwork.com
or on Twitter at OG Podcasts
or the app.
Hey, deuces.
Gotta love these pop filters. App. Deuces. I love how we've just de-evolved into making popping sounds.
Where were they from?
Thailandese. That's the name of this issue, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
See ya.